I love all of you. Now, but we're so glad that you've chosen to join here. And if you're new or visiting, like I said, my name is Brandon. If we haven't had the chance to meet yet, I'd love the opportunity to connect with you. And for those of you joining us online, we're going to give you a special welcome. Come and worship with us in person soon. We'd love to have you. Well, before we get into the message, I want to give a Christmas update. So go ahead and throw that up there. So our Christmas Eve services, they've already been announced, and you guys are doing a great job of registering. Keep that up, because it helps us a lot. So the 5 o'clock service on the Sunday, right now that's kind of the most full. So just keep an eye out for it whenever you're registering. And again, the heart behind it is that everybody who comes and attends, that they have the same experience. And so keep signing up, keep going for it. And we're really looking forward to starting our Christmas season next week. But if you're joining us today, we are in the middle of series, and so we're kind of in between. And so if you've been coming around for a little bit of time, then you know where we've been. But if you haven't, I'm just gonna get us caught up to speed very quickly. So we had an American Idol series we went through in the summer, where we looked at the good things in our lives, that if they're not kept in check, how they quickly can become an idol. And then we had our Praying For series, where we learned to pray the way that Jesus has us pray. And then we looked at Ruth, and we saw the lineage and the line and the people that Jesus chose to come from. And then we just concluded our series, Radical Love, and where we saw how to live and stand out and to love in the culture around us. And so whenever Andy asked me to speak this message, we're kind of in between series, like I said. So we talked about different things I could share about. And so as we started to talk, he's like, man, just share your heart. And so today I'm gonna share kind of a culmination of my heart, of what the Lord has been teaching me and my hopes and dreams for myself, my family, and our church. So before we get into the message, I have a question for you all. How many of you have ever had something that was close to the real thing, but not quite it? So Sam's has these imitation Chick-fil-A nuggets. They're really, really good, but it's not the Christian chicken that we all know and love. Can I get an amen on that? Shout out to Alan as well. For those of us with food sensitivity, such as myself, I'll eat a gluten-free pizza at times, and people be like, how was it? I'm like, it was really good. It's not pizza. And so we have things in our lives that we know this. Well, about 2 years ago, I really wanted to buy a pair of AirPod Pros. And so I was looking online, trying to find any deals that I could. I saw that this resale store was having a sale on them. And so I talked to Erin about it. She had some things she wanted to look at as well. So we drive about 45 minutes and we go to this store. We're trying to play it cool initially when we walk in. So I'm just kind of nonchalantly walking around. I'm looking for the AirPods. I don't see them anywhere. And so I walk up to the counter, and I walked to the counter and asked the lady, I said, hey, just wondering if you guys still had your AirPod Pros for sale. And she got the most serious look on her face. She like scanned the store. She goes, where'd you hear about those? And I was like, I just saw them on Facebook. And I was like, I just wanted to see if you still had them. Do you still have some? If you do, I'd like to buy them. And she was like, yeah, we have them. And I was like, okay, well, I would love to see them. I'd like to purchase them if you'll let me. And then we were talking about it, and then we were going back and forth. She wasn't gonna let me see them. And I was like, how am I supposed to buy these AirPods if I can't even see them? And so she's like, hold on. So no kidding you. She ducks down behind the desk. She pulls up the AirPods. She shows them to me real quick, puts them back down. And I'm like, I'd like to hold them so I can know that they're real. Should have known better. But I went ahead and I went through with purchase. And so as I hand her my card, she goes, by the way, these are non-refundable. I was like, I could have assumed that. But anyways, I get these AirPods, I get into my car, I open it up, open the inside. It's got the little writing. It's even got a serial number. So I'm being more convinced that this is, in fact, the real deal. So I connect it to my phone and I listen to it. I've never had a pair of AirPods. Sounded great. So I was like, these are the real deal. I need to call Ryan and tell him he needs a pair. So I call Ryan. Ryan comes and gets a pair as well, only to find out a few weeks later that these, in fact, were not genuine AirPods. And it's actually funny. If you try to connect the AirPods to this day, this is what it will tell you. So it says, cannot verify AirPods. These headphones cannot be verified as genuine AirPods and may not behave as expected. I'll preach. May not behave as expected because it was close to the real thing, but it wasn't the real thing. And so a little bit more of a serious note is I've been trying to help my son Graham, who's 8 years old, on how to navigate his relationship with Jesus. And I was talking with God one day and I was just asking him, what is a phrase or a word or something that you can give me that can help me to have this conversation with him? And so I was talking with God and praying through it, and God kind of gave me this phrase, and it's not new to me. It's not like it's never been said before. In fact, Andy preached on it just a couple weeks ago. But the phrase is this, that for some, Jesus is Savior, but he isn't Lord. And for my son, Graham, he's only 8 years old, so cut him some slack. And I need to as well. Jesus is Savior, meaning that because of what Jesus did on the cross, that he took the penalty and the payment for our sin and he paid it in full. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, at that moment you are saved. And you will spend eternity with Jesus forever and ever as a result of that. And that's worth celebrating. But Jesus is Lord means this, that every single area of your life will be submitted to the lordship of Jesus. And here's the deal, we can't just surrender some areas. It takes full surrender. And so maybe you're here today and you're hearing that for the first time. Well, today we're just gonna kind of wrestle through this together. And we'll be in Matthew 7, starting in verse 24. Matthew 7, verse 24. He says this, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. My wife Erin and I, we've lived in Nitro for the last 8 years or so of our life, and over the last couple years, we've really felt drawn and called to live in the community here in Hurricane. And so we're actually in the process of building a house here in Hurricane now, which is super exciting, but before you can build a house, there's a couple things that need to happen. The first is this, that you need to sell your house. Before you can sell your house, you have to have an inspection, and then you receive what's called an inspection notice. And so for us, in my situation, I receive this inspection notice, frantically flip through 87 pages that's telling me everything that's ever been wrong with my house. But as I'm flipping, I'm looking for one thing in particular. I'm looking for this, is there any structural issues? Is there any foundation issues? And by the grace of the Lord, we didn't have any foundation issues, and our house was on the market for a total of about 3 hours before we got our first offer. But my grandparents at the same time were trying to sell a house, and they did have foundation issues and structure issues, and it cost them thousands of dollars before they could sell their house. And so with this view of houses and foundations in mind, let's head back to the passage in Matthew 7. It says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Whoever hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. When Jesus says, whoever hears these words of mine, what is he referring to? He's referring to the message that he is concluding. It's known as the Sermon on the Mount. And it's one of the greatest messages that's ever been preached. And Andy preached on the beginning of it last week, and he said, blessed are the peacemakers. And then other things it says in there is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Or blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The main thing to know from this is Jesus is telling the people how to operate and how to live in the kingdom of God and how different this would have looked than what they were used to. And so we don't have time to read it together in its entirety today, but I would really encourage you to read through Matthew 5 through 7. And we'll use this today as kind of a gauge to look back at. And also we need to have a general understanding of the words that Jesus is referring to. And so as we look at this passage, there's a couple things we wanna notice. And if you're taking notes, the first thing today is that the foundation matters. The foundation matters. Throughout our time together today, we're gonna be having some comparisons we'll look at. And so the overall comparison of the passage is between this wise person and this foolish person. And so we're gonna be looking at it and we'll see that there's three components that are gonna make up the wise and the foolish. And so our first comparison of the day is this: hearing versus obeying. Hearing versus obeying. So I love scripture, I love reading scripture, and I love context. I think context is so important when we read to know who's doing the talking, that who is the audience and what all is happening. And so if we flip just a couple passages over, you don't have to, but in Matthew 4, it tells us who Jesus is speaking this sermon to. It's people who followed him from Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem and even Decapolis. And so what you need to know about these people, most of them would have been very familiar with the Old Testament teachings. And so what would happen is Jesus would be teaching them this lesson in their head. They're thinking about all the messages that they've heard and that they know from the Old Testament. And so in Hebrew, the word for hear and obey, they're synonymous. And it's wrapped into this word, which is called shema. Shema. And so they would have thought of this, and they would have thought of Deuteronomy 6, which is one of the most well-known passages in the Old Testament. It says this: "Hear, Shema, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And as for you, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." What it's not saying here is just to listen and to hear with your ears, but it's saying to listen and do it in a way that causes you to obey it. And the same is said in Matthew 7. This is what Jesus is telling them. And then if we flip to James, in James 1:22, it says this. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." He's saying, don't just listen to the words of God, but you need to be doing the words of God. Because it's not enough just to hear the words of God. It's not enough just to come to church on Sunday. It's not enough just to join a home group. In fact, it's not even enough just to read the words of God. Those things are good, and we would argue they're great things to do. But what matters most is that we hear God's voice, that we listen to it, and that we obey it, and we do the very thing that he is telling us to do. This is the foundation that matters, the one that is built upon hearing and obeying and doing what God has called us to do. Because everything else in our lives will be founded on that. Because our foundation is either solely built on him, or it's built on him plus something else. And the foundation that's built on him plus something else, it will not stand. It is not a solid foundation. Let's continue in the passage in verse 25. "And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house." So the second thing is this, if you're taking notes, that storms reveal the foundation. Storms reveal foundations. Here's the thing that we realize and that we know when we reread this. It doesn't say that the storm possibly could come. The storm maybe at some point will come. It says the storm is coming. And we know this because we will face storms in this life as a result of the brokenness of the world. See, it doesn't matter if you're rich. It doesn't matter if you're poor. It doesn't matter what you've done or not done. It doesn't matter your race. We will all face storms in this life. And here's the thing. We have two options when it comes to storms. which is our next point. Will we be surprised or will we be prepared for the storm? So the question is this: are you prepared for the storm to come? Because what the storm will do is it will reveal the foundation. And my fear for us and for me included is that we wait to go to God until the problem comes. And unfortunately, at that time, it's just too late. You may not realize this or not, but being in ministry can be really, really hard. The weight of ministry is really hard. And when people find out I work at the church, they'll often say, well, what do you do all day? And this week it was decorating for Christmas. Next week it'll be something different. But one of the hardest things that we do, and you can ask any of our pastors this, one of the hardest things that we have to do is to sit with somebody who was surprised by the storm. To sit with somebody surprised by the storm. You might say, what do you mean by that? See, people will come to us and their marriages will be in shambles and the damage is done. And we're like, why did you not come sooner? Or somebody will come and they're in the middle of their addiction and they didn't tell anybody about it and it's completely overtaken their lives and they've lost everything. And it's like, if you could have just come earlier, we could have saved you so much heartache and so much pain. But the truth is this: they waited for the storm to come until they sought out any help. You see, some of the storms we face in this life are gonna be our own doing. And then there's other storms that we're gonna face, like disease and death and divorce. Being let go of at your job. You see, we all face storms. And I wanna say this carefully with all the love in my heart, but what the storm is gonna do, it reveals the foundation and it shows where our faith is actually placed. It shows what we believe about God. 25 continues. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. It did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. The storm will come, but the house will not fall if it is founded on the rock. And if we are prepared for the storm, then we can do what James tells us to do in James 1, starting verse 2. It says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. It seems so hard here, but what we have to do is we have to reorient our hearts to see that God is not against us in the storm, but that God will produce something in us as we face the storm. And it says he's producing steadfastness, which simply means to be firmly fixed and grounded. And then it says we'll be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Does that mean we no longer have any issues in this life? Not a chance, but this side of heaven, we will experience pain and hardship. But what it means is this: when we go through this storm, that Jesus is our only hope and he will satisfy our every desire. And here's what you need to know about the storm. Just because the storm came does not mean that you built on the wrong foundation. Just because the storm came does not mean that you built on the wrong foundation. Because some of you are here right now and you're in the middle of a storm. And you're like, man, what do I do then? What do I do? And so what I want you to do is just to hold on tightly to the truths of God, knowing that he is good, that he is faithful, that he will keep his promises, both here and now and those that are to come. So the foundation matters. The storm reveals the foundations. And we need to build a foundation that lasts. Build a foundation that lasts. Verse 26 and 27 says this. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. So the last comparison we're gonna look at is stability versus collapse, or collapse versus stability. And so we established earlier that Jesus is speaking to a religious crowd. But it's also important to understand that the people he's speaking to, they would even culturally be aware of the climate and the weather and the way that things would happen. And so this analogy to them would make a lot more sense than it does to us initially, because I'm not an architect, I'm not a contractor, I'm not a builder, I'm really not that much of a handyman, but I can hang a TV mount if necessary. That's about where I'm at as a builder. But even I know that if I were to go to the southernmost part of West Virginia, Myrtle Beach, and build a house on the sand, that when the waves come up, that in fact, it will crumble. So it's like, who in the world would do this? And so here's an important thing to note about the passage, because this is what they would know. In the summer in the Middle East around the Sea of Galilee, the sun became so hot on the sand that for several months throughout the year, the sand would actually become like concrete. And so what these builders would do is they would build their houses in these warmer months, and they would build it on this firm sand. And initially, the sand was solid. But the rains came and the winds blew, and it took what was once solid and it made it crumble. That everything was good until the storm came. But here is what the wise person knew. The wise person knew that they're gonna have to dig deeper, that they're gonna have to work harder, that they were gonna have to go through the superficial layers down into the deep layers of the rock in order to have a firm foundation. The whole point is this, that the people that Jesus was speaking to were mostly religious. So on the outside, they had it all together. It seemed like they were perfect. They probably followed most of the commandments. Now, whether that was to be seen by others or some other motive, nonetheless, they followed the commandments. And my fear for us is that superficially, it looks great. It looks like we've got picture perfect, that we have no flaws. And the thing that you are building on right now, it might be sturdy for a season. The thing you're building on right now, it might give you temporary happiness. It might lead you to feel accomplished and to feel satisfied and maybe even temporarily fulfilled. But the reality is this, that Jesus is the only one who will bring true fulfillment. It's not in things, it's not in houses or cars or boats or a 401k or a retirement plan. None of these things will stand in the end. It'll be Jesus and his words. In our lives, in our schedules, in our homes, they have to be built upon this foundation that is sure and that is steady, that is steadfast. So we build our house on the rock. This is where we find our stability. James 1:25 says this, "But the one who looks on the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." He will be blessed in his doing. To build a foundation that lasts, it's gonna take a lifetime of yeses to God. Of course, there's gonna be things that are hard and that we go through in our lives, but it might look like this, that God starts out just stirring you one direction a little bit, or he starts to call you, and you say, "Yes, God, I'll do it. God, I know that it's gonna call for a sacrifice, but I'm gonna raise my family to be a family that stands on your word. God, I know right now that we can barely make it, but I'm gonna give to the building of your kingdom." And that, "God, right now we're tired, we're worn out, but there is a work to be done. And you have a plan and a purpose for us. So I'm gonna say yes to this plan that you have for my life." Now, what I'm not saying is this, is that we overcommit ourselves and we add one more thing to the schedule and we just become yes people who do every little thing. No, but what I'm saying is this, that we say yes to God every single time because it's a lifetime of service to him. There's nothing pretty about it. It's not extravagant. It's not typically desired after. It's not flashy or hype. But the thing is this, it's a lifetime dedicated of service to God. But I'm telling you this, that if your life is not rooted in Christ, it will eventually collapse. Because I've seen times in my own life whenever chaos comes my way, when storms come my way, and I am not rooted in Christ, it leads to a collapse that is so hard to recover from. I've seen close friends throw it all away for a moment of temporary satisfaction, leaving a trail of destruction behind. And so today, I just want us to look at our lives. I want to take inventory of our lives. Look at the foundation of your heart and see, do we need to do any repair? Is Jesus just Savior, or is Jesus, in fact, Lord of my life? Because we see in this passage, we have two options. That our lives will be built upon the foundation of the rock, who is Jesus Christ, or it's going to be built on everything else. And the house that is built on anything but Jesus will fall. But I don't say this to condemn you, because we know in Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But I tell you this, because you can turn and repent. It also says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. Know this today, the very thing that God put in your heart and God put in your mind is the very thing that he wants you to surrender to him, because he cares far more about the broken pieces of us than the put together perfect pieces. And he goes after the things we're most ashamed about, most embarrassed about, and most triggered by. There is nothing in your life right now that Jesus wants distance from. He is closer now today than you could ever imagine. But in order to allow God to do a changing work in our life, it's going to take two things. It's going to take grace. It's going to take truth. It's going to take truth to be honest with ourselves and to be honest with God about what is that thing in my life that I'm holding so tightly to. And then grace, because we have to be willing participants to receive the grace of God. One of my favorite pastors, Matt Chandler, he says it this way. He says, grace without truth doesn't allow for healing to take place. And truth without grace is a bully. So we turn to God, and he will show us mercy, and he will show us grace. And so maybe you're here today, and you realize that your foundation is not solid. Today could be the day that you start over, that you build afresh, that you start to do some repair. Now listen, it's gonna take some time, but we're in November, we're about to go into January in a few weeks. Don't wait until January 1st to start this. Look at your life today. What are the things that are distracting you? What is the thing that is taking away lordship and putting it onto something else? Because we need to repair our foundation, because what happens when we do that is this, is that when the storm comes, the storm won't be the thing that takes us out, but the storm will be the thing that draws us closer to God, allowing him to build our foundation so that it's stronger and stronger. And when we follow after God and we do what he's called us to do, then Psalms 1 says this of this man. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. I love this depiction of the tree planted by the water, because what it shows us is this, is that the tree is firmly planted, that it has taken root. And what the water represents is the nourishment that Christ is continually giving us, that we'll never be thirsty again. And I don't know about you, but I want to be like this tree, that when the storms of life come, I want to confidently say, I'm not going anywhere. Because when we acknowledge Jesus as Lord of our lives, we're embracing something far greater than we can fully grasp. His lordship isn't about rules and it's not about limitation, but it's about purpose and it's about freedom and life to the fullest. His ways are so much better than you could ever imagine. The more we trust him, the more we experience the depths of his goodness and his grace and his faithfulness to us. Let us surrender our lives to him today, knowing that he is the source of life. Will he be the Lord of your life today? Because there will be a day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Will that day be today for you? As we're concluding our time here, I just want to stay in this moment. I want to invite our prayer team to come up. And listen, man, if God was stirring something in you, then I want you just to be brave enough to come up. Our prayer team members would love the opportunity to pray for you. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you for the areas that you shine light into the darkness of our hearts. God, we thank you that you are a loving God, that you are a kind God, that you are a gracious God, and you do say that it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. So God, we don't come to you in guilt and shame and regret and things of the past, but God, we come to you knowing that you are restorer and sustainer of all things. And so God, I pray that you would reach the one who is lost this morning. God, that you would show them that you are the source of life, that you're the only way. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you guys, make sure to keep signing up for those Christmas services. And we'll see you right back here next week for our new sermon series, Cure to an Uncommon Christmas.